Good morning. Welcome back to Parsha Expirations. It's been a few weeks. Excited to learn with you this morning. And please God, for the next few weeks, before we begin, I'd like to thank this week's Shear sponsors. This week's Shear is sponsored by Herbie Schmel in memory of his father, Sam Schmel, and by Karen and Harvey Lowy in memory of Karen's father, Eric Stern, Olav Shalom. And this month of learning is sponsored by Bobby and Sydney Greenfeld in memory of Sydney's mother, Ray Greenfeld, and his sister, Bernice Kelman, Aleihem Shalom, may all the neshamas have an aliyah, and may their memories be for a blessing. Okay, I'm actually going to share my screen. We'll do a little bit of reading inside today. Parshas Kedoshim, please God, we'll be able to study some of it together, is really just totally action-packed. I say that every week, but it's really true this week. There's so many mitzvos, each are worthy of their own independent study. We won't be able to independently study all of them, but let's focus on a few and at least the beginning. The very first pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Kedoshim, actually the second, the first one is Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Limor. Hashem says to Moshe, saying, Daber al kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of the children of Israel, v'amarta aleihem, and you should say to them, Kedoshim tihiyu, you shall be holy. Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So obviously, it is not entirely clear what this mandate means. It says that we should be holy. What does that actually entail to be holy? What does that obligate us in? So what's interesting, the Torah Shlema here quotes in sources 1 and 3 two different midrashim as to should we relate Kedoshim Tihiyu to the previous parsha, or to the continuing parsha. Source number one here, the Torah Shlema quotes Yerushalmi Yubamos, which says, Kedoshin to you. It says, you shall be holy. Amar Yehuda ben Pazi, Velama Samach HaKasa Parshas Arayos, Parshas Kedoshim. Why is it that the Torah juxtaposes the Parsha of Arayos, the part of the Torah describing all the illicit relationships to the Parsha describing the mitzvah of being holy? Minarayos nikra kadosh. To tell you that anybody who separates from illicit sexual relationships is considered holy. So one interpretation then of this mandate is that it relates to the previous parsha, that kedusha means to separate oneself from sin. And that's why in this vein, the Ramban, on commenting on this parsha, expands this notion and says that to be kadosh is separateness and a certain form of being apart from physical pleasure, and that not only is it that forbidden things are forbidden, of course they're forbidden, we didn't need kadosh to you for that, but even in regard to those things which are permissible, those foods that a person can eat and a person can drink wine, etc., for a person to overdo it, to indulge, to be gluttonous, that's called a novel bereshis Torah. And so, in telling us kedoshim to you, the Torah is saying even from those things which you are permitted to partake of, kadosh, you gotta be holy. To be holy means to have a certain level of abstinence, to abstain. That is all if you relate kedoshim to you to the previous parsha. However, you have other midrashim which do not relate kedoshim to you to the previous parsha, but rather to the coming parsha. As I mentioned, kedoshim is filled with mitzvos, and the Torah Shlema says that, or quotes the Medrash in Vayikra, that these mitzvos are not just arbitrary. It is hard to find a relationship between the consecutive mitzvos. However, the Medrash says that they relate to the Aseres Hadibros, right? So Tani Rabbi Chiya, Parsha Zu Nemra B'Hakel, Memnei Sherov Gufei HaTorah Tzliyimba. Why were the Jews gathered together to hear the Parsha of Kedoshim? Because the main ideas of Torah are contingent upon it. Rav Levi Amar, Rav Levi Semnesha Yud Dibros Klulun B'socha, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are included in this Parsha. It says, Anochi Hashem Lokecha is the first commandment, Uksiv V'hach, Ani Hashem Lokechem. Various times in this week, Parsha, the Torah says, I am Hashem, your God. That's parallel to the first commandment. Lo Yiyah Lecha, you shall not have for yourself other gods, Uksiv, V'lokei Masecha Lo Sa'asu Lochem. that you should not make for yourself these foreign gods. Lo sisa, uksiv hacha, v'lo sishavu b'shmi, etc., etc. The Medrash connects the Ten Commandments to the various mitzvot found in Parshas Kedoshim. Maybe the most fascinating one is the last one, which I'll talk about in a minute. It says, Lo sachmo, the last of the ten dibros, is the commandment not to covet, not to be jealous. And that is parallel to V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. The Medrash draws a parallel between the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, to love your fellow Jew, to the mitzvah of not being jealous. That is fascinating. Be that as it may, the Parsha of Kedoshim focuses on various different mitzvot. And the Sforno actually elaborates on this Medrash and says that it's not just that it's parallel to the Ten Commandments, but the Parsha of Kedoshim expands upon the Ten Commandments. For instance, it says in the Ten Commandments, you can't have other gods. And the Sforno says in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Al tithnu el ha'alilim. Don't turn toward other gods, meaning it is not only forbidden to worship other gods, but not to do an action which would attract you to a foreign pagan philosophy, not to study their religions too carefully with the intent of connecting with them and to stay away from pagan culture. So that all is to say that if you read Kedoshim Tiyu as an introduction to the various mitzvot in Parshas Kedoshim, it becomes more difficult to suggest that Kedoshim means abstinence, that to be holy is to separate from physicality, because not all of the mitzvot in Parshas Kedoshim relate to separating from physicality. Loving your fellow neighbor, not taking revenge, not stealing, many of these, leaving the corner of the field for the poor, the mitzvah of Peah, that doesn't seem to relate to the mitzvah of Kedusha in that sense. So I also shared with you here of David Zvi Hoffman's explanation for the mitzvah of Kedusha. What does it mean? A very simple sentence, says David Zvi Hoffman, Hamusa Kedusha Hora'ato, the notion of holiness means Hamadrega Halyonash Lishlemuta Musarit, the highest level of moral perfection. Hasho Efet Ach Litov, Bahamita Eves Es Hara, which yearns for all good and despises all evil. You have reached a level of Kedusha if what you strive for in your life is the good in all its forms, and what you despise is evil in all its forms, whether in our relationship with God or with others. Holiness is not, in Rav David Zvi Hoffman's terms, to be abstinent, not to separate from the world, but to yearn for the best world that we can possibly have. And that means not just to do good, but to want only good, for that to be the most important thing to you. It also means to despise all evil. I think that is to say, that isn't just that you shouldn't be evil. It doesn't just mean don't take revenge. It means that revenge should be despicable to you, that dishonesty should be despicable. Once those things bother you, that is a sign that you have reached the level of Kedusha. And that relates to Kedoshim to you. I will just quote the Rambam. In this instance, there's a famous machlokas throughout the mitzvos between the Ramban and the Rambam as to which mitzvos to count and which mitzvos we ought to not count in the 613. One of the mitzvos the Rambam, quote-unquote, leaves out is the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. The Ramban takes him to task for not counting the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu as one of the 613 mitzvos. But the Rambam says, you know what Kedoshim Tiyu means? It means to keep the entire Torah. By keeping the Torah, and not just keeping it, but taking in its values, that is the way that we achieve holiness, according to the Rambam. And maybe Rav David Zvi Hoffman's read that Kedoshim Tiyu is an introduction to the various mitzvot in Parshas Kedoshim would indeed attest to that fact. What's fascinating to me is that the very first mitzvah that the Torah introduces after telling us to be holy is the mitzvah of Mora of the Aim. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. A person should fear his mother and father. As I mentioned, the Medrash connects Parshas Kedoshim to the Aseres HaDibros. It is obvious that Mora of the Aim would be connected to Kibbutz of the Aim. The Sfarno sees that as an expansion. that it is not sufficient just to honor your mother and father, but you have to have an awe of them and a respect of them, and to make sure not to do anything that would denigrate that respect. But it's fascinating to me and quite puzzling that of all the different mitzvos, that the first mitzvah the Torah picks after introducing the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tirou. Why is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tirou the paradigm of a mitzvah which would bring us to Kedusha? So I thought in this vein, I would share with you the thoughts of the Rabag, Rav Levi Ben Gershom. He has a pretty long essay on the importance of Mora of the Aim here. And he, to me, points out three different ways in which Mora of the Aim, respecting and having awe of our parents, is essential. And not just that, but also how it can be the key to Kedusha, the key to having a close relationship with the Ribono Sholem, says the Rabbah. Siva b'mora ahorin, the Torah commanded us regarding the fear of our parents. Ki bazeh to'eles nifal l'kabbalah adam musare ha-Torah. Because fear of the parents is a greatly helpful in accepting, for a person to accept, the moral ethics of Torah. How so? Vazet. Ki ahorim yiyasru zaram v'yiknu lehem ha-musare sh'yisham ribo mehashkatz asmam v'zulazam. One, that a person's parents will instruct them not and make sure that they acquire ethics and they prevent themselves from hurting themselves and others. Very instructive. It is natural for parents to want to do this, to want to instruct and to teach their children. Because they love their children. It is the natural instinct of a parent, or at least it ought to be, to raise their children in a way that they can be the best people possible. And therefore, they will guard them in all ways so that they don't do damage because of their negative character traits. And I think you see it all the time. There are certain people you might grow up with or know since they were children that didn't necessarily display the most maturity, and they slacked off, or they had bad nidos, or they weren't serious, and then they become parents, and hopefully they realize, oh boy, I don't want my kid to be that way. I don't want my kid to be like I was when I was a kid. You know, and he better sure not be. My father happens to be on the Zoom call. I hope I don't fall into that category. But that is what the Ravag is saying. The number one way in which Mora Avaim is a key to achieving Kedusha is that if you respect your parents, you will listen to their advice and they will prevent you from exhibiting negative character traits. The second one, he says, is on a more basic level. Forgetting about negative character traits, what about very basic humanity? They shouldn't eat so much. They should just be a mensch and make sure that you eat healthy. And, you know, and your parents also are there to make sure that you wash your hands when you come in from the outside. All the very basic things that humans need to do in the world, your parents teach you. And then finally, third, im shebezos ha-mitzvah to'eles nifal ha-hayshra al-niras shem yisaleh. And there is another great product of fear of one's mother and father, which will is that it will teach a person to fear God. If we are commanded to fear our parents because they were responsible for our birth in some sense, then certainly we should have awe of Hashem, because he is the true cause of our existence and for our parents' existence. As much as our parents are responsible for our very being, but you can't say that your parents specifically designed you, that they designed you with your arms and your legs and your talents and deficiencies with a intent for you to have those things. Of course not. Obviously, there's genetics involved here, but it is ultimately God who fashions and designs each person. We are the way that we are because God designed us in that way. So says the Rabbag, if a person truly buys into this concept of Mora Avaim because you respect your origin, then certainly you will have Yiras Hashem, you will have awe of the Ribono Shel Olam. So if we take this Rabbag to light, then I think we can understand that the key to all the other mitzvahs in the Tarsha of Kedoshim is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro, because a person's upbringing and the character traits that they develop as a child, that is the key to whether or not they will then go and worship God appropriately and keep the rest of the mitzvos. And it serves as the basis for one's relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. So when Hashem says, Kedoshim to you, what is the first example of Kedoshim to you? It is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro. If you want to be holy, you need to have awe of your mother and father, to respect them, to take in the natural moral guidance that they give you, and to see them as a paradigm for your relationship with our ultimate cause, of course, which is the Ribono Shel Olam. Going to move to another two mitzvos in this week's Torah reading that are juxtaposed in an interesting way and are also very well known. That is in part Parak Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches, where the Torah says as follows: Lo sikom velo sitores b'nei amecha. You should not take vengeance or bear hatred against the people of your nation. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. And you shall love your friend as yourself. Ani Hashem, I am the Lord. Focusing on the second mitzvah in this pasuk for a second. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, of course, a very well-known mitzvah, the mitzvah to love your friend, your neighbor, as yourself. Rashi famously comments, Amar Rabbi Akiva zekha gadol b'Torah, this is the greatest rule in the Torah. But many of the Mefarshim are honestly very bothered by it. Could you actually love your neighbor as much as you love yourself? We have a very basic, natural, at least hopefully we have a very basic, natural love for ourselves. There is an instinct of self-preservation. It's not realistic, argue many of the Mefarshim, to expect the person to truly have the same love of their neighbor as they have for themselves. What could this possibly mean? So the Ramban says that it's an exaggeration. That's what he at first says. It doesn't actually mean kamocha. It means that you should treat them honorably. And then he writes as follows: V'yitachim ba'avor shelo amar v'yahavta esreacha kamocha. It doesn't say that you should love esreacha, your friend. V'hish v'osam b'milas l'reacha. It's you should love to your friend. As the Torah says, also regarding a stranger, a foreigner, shepirusho lahashvo shneim v'ahavasam b'daito, that you should equate in your mind your love of them. What does that mean? Kipa'amim rabo sheyehava adam esri eyu bidvarim yiduim lehitivo v'osher nachasim alo b'chachma. Sometimes a person loves someone else in that he wants to do good for him in terms of giving to him and giving them wealth or possessions, but not in chachma. And I don't want the person to be as smart as me. I feel good that I am more wise, I have more knowledge than them. So it's one thing to give them stuff, but to actually teach them such that they might reach my level, I don't want to do that. I like him enough. Of course, I want him to succeed, but not too much. Not too much. I wouldn't want him to be as successful as me, because that would make me feel bad. Because I like the fact that I put myself in my own mind above my friend, that I'm higher in the social stratosphere. So that's v'yahavta re'acha kamocha. V'yitzav ha'kosov shelo tiyeh pechisos hakinah hazos b'livo. The Torah commands that we shouldn't have this small sort of jealousy, this deficiency of jealousy in our hearts. That you should love when your friend is successful, just like when you like when you are successful, that you shouldn't let competition get in the way of your love for your friend. If your friend succeeds, don't look at that as an affront to yourself. He did well, she did well, so I'm not as good? No, of course not. Their success is good in its own right, and that you should only be happy. Lo yitein shi'urin ba'ahava. Do not put limits on your love. Don't say I only like my friend or want them to succeed to the point that they're as the same level as me. But once they reach the level, no more success. So that's v'ahavta re'echa kamocha. So on one level, the Ramban is saying that what does v'ahavta re'echa kamocha mean? It can't mean literally love your friend as yourself. So one explanation is don't do negative things to your friend. Don't hurt them, just like treat them the way you want to be treated. Not to actually emotionally love them the way you love yourself, but treat them the way you want to be treated. On a second level, it means do not let competition or jealousy put limits on your love toward them. However, I do think it is worth, as many Mefarshim point out, looking at what is juxtaposed with V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. Because before the Torah talks about Ahavas Yisrael, it says, Lo sikom velo sitor es b'nei amecha, to not take vengeance against your friend. Is it just coincidental that it happens to be that these two mitzvos are in the same pasuk? The prohibition against revenge and bearing a grudge or bearing hatred, and the mitzvah to love one's friend? So many Mefarshim say, no, of course it is not a coincidence. For instance, Shmuel Rav Lutzato says something very basic. Very basic. Wait a minute. It's one thing to tell me not to steal. I get that. That's wrong to steal. And not to cheat anybody. I get that. And not to have dishonest weights. I get that. But not to take revenge? Hey, I don't understand. You know, if Leah goes to Rachel and Leah, you know, cheats Rachel, shouldn't Rachel do the same right back? Isn't that justice? Tit for tat. You do something to me, I should do it to you too. Isn't there a certain lack of justice if they get to take advantage of me and I just have to suffer and not retaliate? For that, the Torah says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. You're right. Is there a certain justice in that? Maybe. But still, love them as yourself. When you wrong somebody, you don't want them to take vengeance against you. And so therefore, you shouldn't take vengeance against them. And then Netziv takes it to another level based on the Yerushalmi in Nidarim. Yerushalmi and Nidarim says something, and I think the Rambam also quotes this, says as follows. It says, don't take revenge. Why not? Hey Chavida, havi mikata kufar, umacha sakin liyadeh, tasar timche liyadeh. The person takes a spade or a knife in their right hand, and they accidentally cut their left hand. Would it make sense for their left hand to then hit their right hand? Does anybody do that? You accidentally hurt one part of your body. Would you say the other part of your body should strike it back? Of course not. That's ridiculous. You're only hurting yourself. And then the Rishami says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zeh Kla Gadol B'Torah. Meaning to say, says in its Pirish, Shanakima Bechavero Doma La Adam Shemachatek Basar. Taking revenge against one's friend is similar to a person that cuts their flesh. And his hand that's holding the knife is not careful, and it hits his other hand. Would anybody have the thought to then take vengeance against the hand that was holding the knife and to hit it? So too, one should love their friend as themselves. After it says, don't take vengeance. As we say in Halacha, your life takes precedence, and indeed your goodness takes precedence, and your well-being comes first. You're right. Just like you take precedence, but once it happened, it doesn't help to hurt it further. Just like it doesn't help to hurt your left hand after it hit your right hand. So once he hurt you already, it doesn't help to take vengeance. And that's the main line. That even though it's true you take precedence, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a certain unity. That ultimately we're all like one soul. Ultimately, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means that we should see a connection, a deep brotherly connection between ourselves and our fellow Jews. And so to take vengeance on them is like your right hand hitting your left hand because your left hand hit your right hand with the knife. that you have to develop a certain love so that you see that when your friend suffers, you suffer too. Does that mean that you have to put yourselves on the same level, that you have to put them before you? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that you're connected. And therefore, when they do something wrong to you, once it's done and it's over with, to take vengeance against them is of no positive outcome, and you're hurting yourself. And that's the idea of the juxtaposition between V'ahat L'Recha Kamocha and Lo Sikom Lo Sitor. So just to summarize briefly, I do actually have to leave this room in just a minute. We talked about Kedoshin Tiyu and whether it connects to the previous Parsha, which is about abstinence, or to the next Parsha, which has many mitzvos, and therefore is requiring from us to strive for the absolute moral good, to love all good and despise all evil. We talked about the importance of Moreh Avaim as the precedent for achieving that Kedusha because of what we learn from our parents. And then finally, we ended with this notion of Yahat L'Recha Kamocha. Ramban suggests maybe it means not to act dishonorably or wrongfully to your friend. It doesn't mean to love your friend literally as yourself. It means also not to let jealousy get in the way of the good you want from your friend. And then some mafarshim like Nitziv and Shadal link V'ahat L'Recha Kamocha to Lo Sikom V'lo Sitor, as if to say, vengeance to some degree makes sense, but you don't hit your right hand with your left hand, and then so do you don't take vengeance against your fellow Jew just because they wronged you. I want to thank everybody for your learning, and I want to wish you all a wonderful Shabbos.